And that is on Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Why do you think we're playing that? Because on this Tuesday, December 2nd, in the year of our Lord 2014, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio. And on Tuesday's Rumination Tuesday, we talk about hymns that are assigned for the coming Sunday. And this is the major hymn. And, of course, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. A blessed Advent to you.
Yes. What a change. What did you preach on Sunday?
The Palm Sunday entry.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, which always, you know, I always explain why we're doing Palm Sunday on the first Sunday.
Why?
In Advent. Well, I just think it, you know, I mean, I think a lot of us are used to having Palm Sunday on the last Sunday before Easter.
That's right.
And of course, that's one of the emphases of Advent.
Yes. There is a coming
right
involved with it, too.
He comes to Bethlehem.
Yes.
He comes to our hearts through the word and sacrament. He comes on the last day.
Right.
And, of course, he came to Jerusalem to suffer and die on a cross.
Yes. I preached the epistle reading, which talks about on the last day of judgment, you need to be blameless. So my question to the congregation, put your hands up if you're blameless. And nobody put their hand up. And I said, well, doesn't look like many are going to heaven here.
Had you given the absolution that morning?
No, it was Matins.
Oh, I see. Well, that's why they didn't raise their hand.
No. They didn't have
the absolution.
Yeah, they don't need no absolution to be blameless. I said, no, you need to be like me. You know, we pastors, we're blameless. And then my wife stood up and waving her hand, but I ignored her. Okay. Are you busy?
Yes, very busy. Yes. Oh, boy. Busy time, but a great time. I absolutely love Advent. I love Advent. I love Lent. I love Christmas. Always will, you know.
Last 2 weeks ago, I did 5 sermons in 4 days.
And wow.
I thought, boy, that's something. Wow. Well, guess what?
Five sermons now. 5 preachings or 5 different sermons? That's the difference.
Well, no, they were kind of 5 sermons, but I'm coming up now. This week, I'm doing 7 sermons in 5 days.
Different sermons?
No, not all of them. But after I do the first one and people complain, I usually change it anyway. So, No. It starts tomorrow. I'm not going to be here because I'm doing 2 Advent services at Emmanuel Olivet, one in the morning at 9 and one at 7 in the evening.
Wow.
That's 97:33. Then Thursday, I do a worship service and a sermon at a nursing home. Then Friday, I'm doing the sermon here at the International
Wow.
Center. Then Saturday, I do a sermon at 5 o'clock at Emmanuel, and then 2 on Sunday.
Goodness sake.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You are busy.
Well, no, Luis is just typing like crazy, you know, so we'll see how those go. But in case you're all interested, that's when you can hear us. Yeah, the International sermon will be at 10 o'clock here.
10 o'clock
here. International Center. And such. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. But therefore, tomorrow I'm not going to be here. And Dr. Mark Laverty, concert pianist and organist, will be in. And he's going to be doing a study of one of Bach's Advent cantatas. And he's going to show how Law and Gospel infiltrate the whole cantata. And that's the one with
Jesu, Joy of Man's Desire.
Yes.
Played a lot at weddings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I've heard lyrics for it. I was at one wedding where they actually had lyrics. You could actually sing it.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
Interesting, and he'll mention this probably tomorrow, Bach didn't write that.
Oh.
It was written by another composer.
That's pure heresy. No kidding.
No. And I think he wrote 13 stanzas, and Bach took 2 of them and made the cantata up. So
Bach did not write
Jesu, Joy of Man's Desire, no.
Jesu, Joy, he did not write that. Oh, boy, that is a real, you dropped a bomb there.
Okay. Yeah. All right, stop worshiping Bach, everybody. All right, without further ado, well, one other item. we here at Law and Gospel, we now pay for our hours here on KFUO beginning in 2014. And so if you would like to contribute, any checks have to be made out to Law and Gospel, not to KFUO. But KFUO is going to get the money anyway. So by giving to Law and Gospel, you get double benefit. It's both keeping Law and Gospel on the air, and it's also helping KFUO. Now, we made a website up for you. It's real easy. LawAndGospelRadio.com. That's all you have to go to, and all you actually get some pretty big gifts, depending on how much you contribute to Law and Gospel. But you just do it automatically. We get it, and then we hand it over to KFUO. And if you don't have a computer, just give me a ring, 1-877-267-1962, and leave your phone number, and we will phone you back.
So you reward the listeners according to their works, their gifts, right?
Absolutely, right, because we're in the temporal realm. And No.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, one gift, you get every broadcast from 2014 uh-huh. on a DVD, uh-huh. Except for the Tuesday morning ones. Okay. Would you please read the first stanza on Jordan's Bank?
Okay, it's a great hymn, one of my favorites for Advent. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist's cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings.
Yes. We're talking about what person?
John the Baptist, of course.
Yes. Now, I always call him John the Baptizer.
John the Baptizer. Yes, I know.
Because
yeah.
he's not Baptist. He's Lutheran.
Well, it's a long-standing, you know, that term is long-standing. You know?
I know.
I don't know when they started using that, John the Baptizer. I remember that kind of...
Yeah. I as soon as I heard the difference, I began using it. Because this is so ironic. The Baptist church doesn't believe in infant baptism. And here comes John doing a baptism. So it's just kind of interesting. Why is he crying? Is that with tears?
No. He's... voice crying in the wilderness as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. He's that voice that was prophesied as crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what he is. He's the forerunner preparing.
In Mark chapter 1, it begins the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I went over that yesterday, and it's actually Dr. Jim Belts who has come up with a new understanding of that. It's not that it was the beginning of the gospel, but he believes on the basis of a Philippians passage, which Paul says, when I came to you, the beginning of the gospel you heard, that it's really referring to the preaching. It was the beginning of the preaching of the gospel. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the gospel.
Yes.
But when Jesus came, remember, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand.
That's right.
And so
he
began to preach the gospel. So the verse I recall is, when the fullness of time came,
God sent forth his son, Galatians.
Yeah, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those of us who were living under the law. And it's really interesting that somebody asked, why did God take so long? You know, from
at
Eve.
At the right time.
You know, that's right.
You think about it, at the right time.
Yes.
The Romans had pretty good control. There weren't a lot of wars going on at this time, a little flare-up here
good
and there.
Good transportation.
They had roads. The Romans were building roads.
Right.
I think they even had somewhat of a postal system. I think I've heard that.
And, well, they had
and
to,
so the time was right.
He wrote letters, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was what they call the Peace of Rome, the Pax Romanum.
Right. Romana.
Romana. And... And it was just the right time for the gospel to come.
Yes.
Jesus.
I believe God could have chosen any time. He would have made it right.
Right.
But if you're asking the question, why it takes so long, I would ask you to speak to Abraham and Sarah.
Right. Yes.
You're going to have a baby. I'm 65 years old.
No, 90.
No, no, 90. No. When he made the promise, she was 65.
Okay.
And then it took 25 years.
Yes. She was 90. He was
100.
100, right.
Can you imagine a 25-year pregnancy? Oh. Well, anyway, maybe it wasn't 25 years, but it took 25 years. So God, in fact, in the epistle for this Sunday, it talks about one day is like a
A thousand years is one day.
Yeah. God, you know, what does that mean? It means that...
He's above time and space. I mean, it's nothing.
Well, what do you
like
mean
darkness,
he's above?
Darkness and light. Well...
You know how I understand
he's
it?
Not, he's not limited by time and space.
Well, what does that mean? See, here's
he
what...
entered time. He entered time with his son.
Yes.
But God is not limited by time or by space.
Well,
you know, he is...
I'm going to suggest to you what I think it means. You tell me if I'm
all
wrong.
Right. Okay.
He's omnipresent.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. He can be in the past and the future all at the
right.
same time.
He's eternal and omnipresent.
Yeah. So for him, there is no time as we understand it. That's actually... by the way, that...
time is a creation of his.
That's right. We actually base it on the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second.
Right.
That if you can go faster than that...
Time slows down.
Yeah, you go into the past.
Yeah.
That's Einstein's...
Theory of relativity.
That's right, exactly. And they've done planes going around the world in different directions, and they did lose about 1/100th of a second.
Yeah, and so, Superman used to fly around the world several...
Superman. Well, that was to bring his girlfriend back to life. He reversed. So imagine if he hadn't read Einstein. Okay. All righty. So the cry for a child, they say, why is John the Baptist crying? No, crying means to speak out loud
right.
or to proclaim. And he announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings... glad tidings of the King of Kings. Now, glad tidings is actually a translation of what?
Glad tidings. A translation of...
Yeah, sometimes I've seen newsletters. See, the one we put
good
out...
Good news?
Very good.
Good news, it's which good. Is the gospel.
It's the gospel. Glad tidings is another translation for the gospel. And the gospel... is coming nigh, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus
right.
Christ. That's the dawn. Okay. Right. Stanza 2. Then cleanse be every life from sin, make straight the way for God within, and let us all our hearts prepare for Christ to come and enter there. Now, I like that. It's not that, then let us prepare our hearts to invite Christ to enter there.
Right. Yeah, it's not open up your heart theology, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. Open up your heart.
Well,
what does that mean?
I'll tell you what it means.
God's got to open our hearts. He's got to make entry.
But you see, the old Adam wants to take credit for their salvation.
Yeah, right.
And so
they make a choice.
They do everything they can to take credit away from God.
Yeah.
And therefore, anybody who believes in inviting Christ into the heart as a way of being saved. Is really denigrating the crucifixion of Christ.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I agree, Tom, but you know, some people use that kind of expression unwittingly and they really don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like.
Don't you think some people say that and they. Uh oh. Did I say the wrong thing?
No, that was from God indicating that.
Okay, now, maybe I'm wrong, but I do know that people.
I don't care if they're doing it unwittingly or not.
Okay.
Because it's still sin.
Right.
When
it's presumptuous.
Peter refused to eat with the Jews and Gentiles, he did that unwittingly, and Paul looked at him and said that he was denigrating the cross
of
Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
So unwittingly isn't an excuse, but it may not damn you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we got to be careful there that we don't
that's
judge.
That's my point.
Yeah. That's a good point. So, but boy. You just are trying to answer the unanswerable question. I'll start it off, you finish it. Why some?
And not others.
It's unanswerable.
We don't know. That's right. The Lutheranism does not try to answer that question like others do, like Calvinism.
Calvin believes in a double predestination.
Right.
Baptists believe, well, you invited Christ into your heart, and that's why you're saved.
Yeah, it's unanswerable.
There was a heresy that God looked forward into the future to see which ones would come to faith, and therefore he saved them. Yeah, that was a heresy in the Lutheran Church for a long time.
Is that right?
It was Walther on the predestinarian
controversy. Oh, that's right, of course, yes.
Yes. So C.F.W. Walther was the... By the way, you know it's his 200th birthday this year?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw a... In fact, it's the statue.
You're looking
Walter,
at the statue out there. Yes.
And while we're looking at him, he's still holding one of those cookies from the 90th anniversary. But I don't know if anybody should eat that one. All right, stanza 3.
Okay. We hail thee as our Savior Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Without thy grace, we waste away like flowers that wither and decay.
In fact, that's in the one of the readings also, that we are like flowers and we just wither away and into nothing. But we have two words that seem to contradict each other here in this verse, and maybe you can explain it. The one word, it says, our great reward, and the next word is without thy grace. Now, it seems like reward and grace are opposites. Reward is something I earn, I merit. Grace is something I don't deserve. I inherit.
I see what you're saying.
So you need to explain this to a child.
It's not a reward. Yeah, you're right. It's not a reward in the sense that, you know, that we have earned it by anything. It's a gift.
That's right.
I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know. Why would have you used reward for that?
Well, because...
Maybe not...
Yeah.
Because it didn't rhyme or what?
No.
I mean, really, you know, why did they use the word reward there? That does kind of denote that it's payment.
Yeah, actually, the word reward is also a translation of some of the Bible verses, that on Judgment Day, we will receive our reward.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, how so? Well, when you take a look at Matthew 25, God says, because you gave drink to the thirsty, food to the
yes.
hungry, come into my heaven.
You will not lose your reward. If you give one of these little ones a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. Our works do follow us.
That's right.
To heaven. Our
so,
works.
So, theology is the art of making distinctions, and the distinction I would make would be the difference between a reward by merit and a reward by grace. We still get them. Like, for example... you know this analogy is often used. Jesus runs the race and wins the crown of victory, then he puts it on our heads.
Right, right. That's grace. That's pure grace.
And that's a reward, you know, yeah. for being his child.
Right, okay.
But it's not a decision we made. We didn't merit to be his child. So the word reward can also be like we're coming up to Christmas and people give out a lot of
gifts
to their children. One can say that's a reward for being a child, you know, because they wouldn't have got those gifts if they weren't living in that house. And yet...
But they didn't do anything to merit.
No, exactly. Yeah, I asked this question Sunday. I was preaching at Wildwood. Now I forgot what the question was. I was going to ask them. No, it'll come back to me. So, verse 3, therefore, without thy grace we waste away like flowers that wither and decay. We're part of creation, and therefore we were made from dust and we'll return to dust.
Right.
But then God will raise us incorruptible.
Absolutely.
You know, from the dead. And that's by grace.
That's right.
All right, I'll read stanza 4. Lay on the sick thy healing hand, and make the fallen strong to stand. Show us the glory of thy face, till beauty springs in every place. Now, is this referring to those who are ill?
Well, don't you remember Jesus, when John sent his disciples later on to Jesus
yes.
to say, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another? Remember how he answered? He says,
he
the lame
Isaiah.
Walk,
yeah.
the blind see, the poor have the gospel preached to them. I think this is referring to the fact that Jesus, Jesus is our great reward. He is coming and he will lay his hands on the sick. Those are signs of the Messiah. The healing and the casting out of demons and the like.
Yeah, the miracles were pointing to him
right.
as the fulfillment of the Messiah. Because when you read in the Old Testament, those miracles are pointing to him.
That's right.
And that's really an important point.
And all Jesus had to do was give that word to John's disciples. They took it back to him when he was in prison. And that's all he needed to hear to know that Jesus was indeed the Christ.
Yes. Yeah, yesterday on Issues Etc., I did the Angel Gabriel coming to Mary.
Yes.
Now, I did something there that I've, you know, I'm a borrower. I'm a super plagiarist. So I saw somebody.
I've always known that, Tom.
Somebody talk about that. And so what I did, there was another time an angel came to a woman and spoke about God.
It was a fallen angel.
Very good.
Yes. I mean,
it was real good.
Satan, the chief of the fallen angels.
And so I had a whole bunch of differences.
Yeah, that is a good,
Lucifer came to Eve.
Good gospel handle there.
Lucifer came to Eve, yeah. And Gabriel came to Mary. Lucifer told a lie. Gabriel told the truth.
The truth, right.
Eve believed it and sinned. Mary believed it and permitted it.
Yes.
Therefore, because of Eve, every womb becomes a tomb.
Oh, boy, that is good.
Because Mary, her womb became the life of the living,
right.
namely Jesus.
Right.
And I had about eight of them.
Oh, wow. That is good. Where'd you get that?
Okay.
You couldn't have originated with yourself.
No, I'm a super plagiarist. The idea came actually from the Concordia Publishing House Sunday School material.
Oh, wow.
They started it off a little bit, and then I added six more to what
wow.
they had. But I'll tell you where...
That is good.
I knew that was going to be good. When we talk about Jesus' temptations, I always go back to the Garden of Eden, because in the Garden of Eden... She has three reasons why she eats of the fruit. And Jesus' temptations are also those three reasons. Yeah, you know, it's good to eat.
Right.
Remember, what was the first temptation?
It looks good.
No. Well, yeah, was the change these stones to bread.
Ah, okay.
And it's really, I don't want to go into it now, we don't have enough time, but each of the temptations.
The temptations that he underwent in the wilderness are the same temptations that Eve had.
Only he was successful.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's good.
In other words, the theme I had for the Sunday school lesson yesterday was that what Jesus does is reverse
right.
the fall of man into sin.
Right.
And he goes through all the things. Remember?
Well, I always...
Days in the wilderness.
That's right.
40 years.
I always feel like he passed the test, which Israel failed miserably in, during their 40 years in the wilderness.
Adam and Eve failed,
right.
and Israel failed,
right.
and Abraham failed, and David failed.
And which we would fail.
Well, speak for yourself. Okay. which, of course, we all fail, yes.
If it has to do with food, Tom, you would fail miserably.
Stanza 5.
Okay. All praise, eternal Son, to thee, whose advent sets thy people free, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Spirit evermore.
At the beginning of that verse, there is a triangle. Why?
That's a doxological verse. It denotes the Trinity, and so we stand for that.
That's right. We stand for that.
It's one thing I really like about this hymnal. It's the first hymnal I've seen that does that. It puts a triangle before those
verses
Trinitarian
where we're
verses.
Supposed to stand.
And you know, it saves you the trouble of having to tell the people, okay, we stand now. You know what I mean?
And normally, isn't it true that the organist will play
yes.
a little different?
Right.
You know,
that's right.
She'll interrupt between the fourth and fifth stanza with some playing.
That's
or he
right.
will do that, and that kind of gives you a signal too.
Exactly.
To stand.
That's great.
Have you ever been, like, one church I was at, I was behind the pulpit, and when I got up to preach, everybody was standing, and I wasn't.
That happened to me once. It happened to me a couple times. I think it was A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Everybody, you know, that's a tradition. We stand for that, and here I was sitting, and everybody was standing.
I know. But you know the one that really bugs me that they sit for?
Yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah. Oh, they, yeah.
And they all sit before the sermon and sing it.
I know.
That's you know, we couldn't have a better job being pastors.
No. It is.
A blessed advent.
Privilege.
Please tell us your times of service.
Yes, we've got Advent service Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And we even have a little soup supper prior to that, okay? And then Saturday, we have service at 5 p.m. And then Sunday, of course, at 9 a.m. That's Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. Come and worship with us.
And if you want to hear me, you've got 7 options in the next 5 days.
That's a whole
tomorrow number. Morning, tomorrow night at Emmanuel Olivet, Thursday at the nursing home, Friday here at the IC, Saturday 5 o'clock at Emmanuel, and then Sunday 2 sermons at 8 and 10:30. I'm Tom Baker. Thank you very much, Pastor Smith, for being with us. And tomorrow, Mark Laverty, Dr. Mark Laverty, on a Bach cantata. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.